It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up, with Brexit now a reality, we'll find out what it can mean for Wisconsin trade with the European Union and with the United Kingdom. First, President Trump gave his third State of the Union speech last night, and the partisan tension was on full display. Both Trump and Speaker Nancy Pelosi traded snubs. First, when President Trump apparently declined to shake Pelosi's hand right before his speech, that after the speech was over, Pelosi ripped up a paper copy of the address in front of the cameras. Kathy Dolan is a distinguished professor of political science at UW-Milwaukee. She's also co-editor-in-chief of the American Journal of Political Science. Kathy, welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
Well, before we go on to the content of the speech and the Democratic response last night, let's talk about that tension I just mentioned between the president and the speaker. What stood out to you about that? What do you make of all that?
Well, I don't think it's surprising. I think that the president, you know, was advised to make no reference of impeachment and to, you know, sort of keep the focus on the kinds of things he wanted to deal with in the State of the Union. But, you know, in some ways, it's impossible to completely control those instincts. And he and the speaker have not had a good relationship for the last several months. So I think we obviously saw that on you know, both ends of the speech and those two exchanges. But, you know, at the end of the day, they're human beings. And I think some of those kinds of things are going to come out.
Now, this is a State of the Union address coming out. Often this is the biggest news story of the week, but it comes the eve of this Senate impeachment vote. It comes right after the Iowa caucuses and sort of during the Iowa caucuses, since the results are still coming out, and the surprise kind of from Mitt Romney. Is this a State of the Union that's going to get swallowed up in the news cycle faster than usual?
Yes, I would say so. I think it already has. You know, I was looking at the internet this morning, looking at various news sites, and it was all focused on reviewing the speech. And then by about 1 o'clock this afternoon, you know, lunchtime or so, all of the major publications and newspaper outlets were focusing on the end of the impeachment trial and the speeches that were being made in Washington. So I do think that for a few hours there was some attention to this, but I don't know that there's necessarily going to be much reflected, you know, glow or bounce that the president gets out of this.
Now, the president and his team set up some surprise moments here. I want to give a listen to one of them, a reunion between a woman named Amy Williams, whose husband had been serving in the military overseas with him and their children. Here's a listen.
There is one more thing. Tonight, we have a very special surprise. I am thrilled to inform you that your husband is back from deployment. He is here with us tonight, and we couldn't keep him waiting any longer.
There's been this growing trend over the years, first of having special guests that the president will allude to during the speech, and that seems to have gotten bigger and bigger over the years, and now this moment, Kathy.
Well, I would say that nobody has done in a State of the Union the kinds of things that the president did last night. So, yes, we have a history of guests in the gallery, but this is something new and different. You know, think what you will about the president, but he is a show person, and he does seem to, you know, want to run the office like it is a reality TV show. So I think both the awarding of the medal to Rush Limbaugh last night and then the reunion of this family in the clip you just played are perfectly designed to play to the audience watching television, you know, the surprise, the gotcha, the kind of thing that people watch TV shows like The Bachelor for and other kinds of things like that. So I think as somebody, you know, who studies political science, I think that I saw this as sort of more evidence of, you know, the celebrity notion of politics and making everything like a, you know, a popular game show. It was certainly an important moment for that family. But I think it's important to remember that that family was separated for any number of hours before the big reveal, because that man, you know, had been brought to Washington earlier in the day. So it was a blatant attempt to play on emotion, and I think that will play positively with some and not so well with others.
Kathy Dolan is with us, distinguished professor of political science at UW-Milwaukee, looking at yesterday's State of the Union address. Let's get into some of President Trump's economic message. Will be a big part, potentially, of his campaign. Here's a listen to some of what he had to say about the economy.
3 years ago, we launched the Great American Comeback. Tonight, I stand before you to share the incredible results. Jobs are booming. Incomes are soaring. Poverty is plummeting. Crime is falling. Confidence is surging. And our country is thriving and highly respected again.
Kathy, can you talk about the importance of the economy for President Trump's reelection campaign?
Well, the economy is usually the most important issue for a president, regardless of, you know, campaign or not campaign perspectives. It's one of the primary issues on which the public evaluates the job that a president is doing, that and sort of international and foreign affairs. So the president is certainly going to use the economy as a primary issue in his reelection campaign. He talks about the economy a lot. Obviously, last night that was the focal point by far. But as with all things with this president, we have to remember that almost none of the things he said last night were actually true. And so he is a good case study in somebody who says words, and large swaths of the country believe him when he says those words. But anybody could look at any reputable media source today and see the list of all of the things that he said last night that just simply aren't true.
A lot of Democrats and others, some economists, point toward economic trends that the president referred to as being true in part, but as having started about 2 years into the Obama administration, trends on things like unemployment and economic growth, oil production in the United States, that kind of thing. Is that something that matters, though, for voters? Is a good economy going to benefit the president now?
Well, you know, the economy is good and is strong. And as you say, a lot of the trends to which he refers did start several years ago. We know that the economy is not growing as rapidly now as it did during the last few years of the Obama administration, but, you know, as you say, the president doesn't focus on that. We also know that presidents don't really have as much direct control of the economy as people seem to think that they do. So while President Trump has put us into different trade agreements with countries and has you know, done a lot of tariff work in our relationship with China in some ways that have a direct impact, the average person believes the president to be much more in control of the economy than he or she perhaps someday ever would be. So the president will get some credit, obviously, for the health of the economy. Many people will overstate, you know, his control of the economy and may give him sort of outsized credit for that. And while people focus on the economy because it is really important both to their own lives and to national conditions, most people don't understand a lot of the important indicators. You know, they'll hear that the stock market is going up or they'll hear that unemployment is low. But a lot of those economic indicators aren't as central to the lives of most Americans, in part, say, as an example, because the average American doesn't have money tied up in the stock market. And so the economy can be a mixed bag for presidents, but he will certainly get credit for the health of things, you know, given that some people won't understand the parameters.
Did you see much from the president when it came to bipartisan proposals, things that both parties could maybe get behind?
Well, you know, there weren't a lot of real policy proposals. I mean, a State of the Union address is often kind of a laundry list of proposals that a president would like Congress to work on. In an election year, it does tend to become more of a here's what I've done retrospective and here's why you should love me and look forward to reelecting me. There were a couple of policy pieces in the speech. He talked a little bit about school choice. He talked a little bit about transportation policy. He talked about a ban on late-term abortion, keeping the cost of prescription drugs low. So, you know, a couple of those things, I mean, I think everyone would support the idea of lower prices on prescription drugs. Lots of people probably liked the toss-out he made about neonatal research funding. But there weren't a lot of bipartisan elements to the speech, and there really weren't just a lot of policy elements to the speech.
I want to give a listen to part of the Democratic response. This came from Governor Gretchen Whitmer of Michigan.
All across the country, Democratic leaders are rebuilding bridges, fixing roads, expanding broadband, and cleaning up drinking water. Everyone in this country benefits when we invest in infrastructure.
That was part of the theme. Democrats getting things done around the country also talk about health care. What did you see in the response message there from the Democrats?
Well, I think what the governor was trying to do is really to stay on message with regard to what the Democratic Party, at least at large, has decided is a good strategy for them. If you think back to the 2018 midterm elections, Democratic candidates across the country really tried to focus on health care and the economy and the kinds of things that people care about in their daily lives, and this frame of getting things done is a way, I think, that the party has decided is probably a good contrast to President Trump, in part because President Trump is so much more just sort of like visual and verbal, and people don't think about, you know, policies as much with regard to him in a daily context. And the Democrats were largely quite successful in the congressional elections in 2018. And so I think they do believe that what we refer to as the pocketbook issues, you know, of people's daily lives, is going to be one of the best themes for them to pursue in 2020 as they're trying to convince voters, you know, to look at them more closely.
We continue our conversation about last night's State of the Union speech from President Trump. Kathy Dolan is with us, political scientist at UW-Milwaukee, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. Does the president's message about the economy reflect what's happening in your own life? Do you want to see more wall construction going on? Do you agree or disagree with what you heard from the president? What do you think it all means for the 2020 presidential election? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll go to your calls now. Nate joins us from Milwaukee. Nate, hi.
Hi. Thank you very much for having me. I was going to repeat a point that I thought was very valid, in that you had a Tuskegee Airman and Rush Limbaugh, and the wrong one was given a medal by the president. Specifically, the Tuskegee Airman risked himself for his country, and Rush Limbaugh, not only did he dodge the draft, but he made a career basically out of lying to people on the air. And in specific, one of the more recent lies was claiming that Republicans couldn't cross-examine witnesses in the impeachment thing, which helped Trump, but if you look at PolitiFact, is actually very wrong.
Nate, thanks for the call. The Tuskegee Airmen got a military honor. Rush Limbaugh got one reserved for civilians. But Kathy, a lot of reaction to that award for the broadcaster Rush Limbaugh.
Yes, I think that it was, you know, I think it's fair to say it was a controversial choice. I think, you know, lots of people would think it was a touching tribute to Rush Limbaugh after he announced that he had cancer. But I think other people will be very offended that somebody who has a long track record of racist and homophobic and misogynistic comments, and as your caller suggests, you know, is somebody who is part of the right-wing media machine that is not always accurate, giving him the highest civilian honor that our country can bestow, you know, for some people is going to feel uncomfortable. And I think, to return to my earlier point, that it was part and parcel of President Trump's desire to have something, you know, jazzy and exciting and game show-like at the State of the Union. And, you know, I'm sure he was poking it in the eyes of, you know, Democrats and people in the country watching.
Right. That's, I mean, President Trump, whether you like the strategy or not, definitely is willing to make controversial statements or gestures like this. I think it's fair to say with the hope that it'll get reaction from his critics. Is that fair to say?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. No, I think President Trump is somebody for whom doing something and not getting a reaction is about the worst thing that could happen. So, yes, everything he does in that regard and in his campaign environments is absolutely calculated for maximum impact. And I certainly have no way of knowing the president's mind, but I don't think that on Friday last week the White House was thinking about giving Rush Limbaugh this Medal of Honor. I think this is all, you know, specifically because he announced on Monday that he is ill and dying. And then they went into gear and said, oh, and we can do this and make a spectacle. So I think, you know, people in our country need to decide for themselves whether that's appropriate or, you know, the right way for the government to give out honors.
And people have made a similar comment about Speaker Pelosi's gesture of tearing up the script afterward. Whatever people think about the decorum of that or whatever, one of the most striking images, the most viral images, was of her, not of him. And we can't read anyone's mind, but could you see this as a calculated move to kind of capture some of the spotlight and take some of it away from the president?
Well, it certainly could have been a calculated attempt on her part to communicate her feelings about the speech, absolutely. I mean, again, we can't know. I mean, certainly the Rush Limbaugh moment was calculated and staged. Whether hers was a reaction born out of frustration after listening for an hour and a half to the president say lots of things that were not true, and she was just disgusted, or whether she went into the speech planning to do that. I mean, we can't know, but it certainly did get attention. And again, you know, one side will think that she showed no grace in doing that, and the other side will say, well, you know, when you've listened to somebody lie about you for an hour and a half, that's kind of the frustration you exhibit. I do think, you know, as we said earlier, that it really shows the sort of continued antagonism of politics in Washington in our current state.
We're talking to Kathy Dolan, Distinguished Professor of Political Science at UW-Milwaukee, looking at yesterday's State of the Union address. Back to your calls. Anne is with us in Amory. Anne, hi.
Hi there. I want to thank you, first of all, for having me, and I really enjoy this program. It's
Thanks.
Very enlightening. So thank you so much. But my concern, among many, is about this wall that he was bragging about, how he was building it. And, of course, we know it's with private funding because he's not getting any money from our government to do this. But I'm wondering how he's acquiring the land upon which he's building this. And I don't believe that people who are for it have any idea of what it's looking like and how it's blocking and taking away people who have property along the river.
And thanks a lot for the call. A lot of details about the wall. A lot of the construction is, I think, already on existing government land with some barrier there already. But Kathy, staying with the State of the Union, can you talk about what the president talked about when it came to a border wall? That was a big part of his original campaign, of course.
Yes. President Trump, in his campaign in 2016, certainly made immigration and building a wall between our country and Mexico as a cornerstone of that, and has continued. If you look at each of his States of the Union address, he has made immigration a centerpiece. And in talking about the wall last night, he, you know, talked about how it has kept us safe and it is keeping us from, you know, having too many people come to this country. I think at some level he's sensitive about the wall, because if you remember in the last week or two, there have been several reports about the sort of shoddy construction and the ways in which there are places where the wall has to be kept open because of floodplains and things like that. So, you know, take whatever position you want on whether it's a good idea, and that's up to listeners to decide. But the wall, as it has been constructed in many places in the last 3 years, is not as successful as it could have been. So it's certainly possible that he wanted to focus on it from what he sees as a more positive perspective. And he knows that, again, people who support him in part because of his stronger stand on immigration and want to hear those things, right? He was speaking last night to the people in the room, certainly, but much more to the people who were watching him. And he wants to make sure that he is telling his supporters about the successes and the progress on the issues about which they care.
Time for one more caller. Mary Kay is with us in Kenosha. Mary Kay, hi.
Hi. I thought it was a very good speech. The president, he talked about illegal immigration, but the border crisis would have never happened had the Democrats had the policy that they have. If we would have had a closed border, there would have been no border crisis. There'd be no free health care that our children have to pay for. Okay, so I'm just saying I like the speech.
Mary Kay, thanks a lot for the call. A support of the president's policies there. Kathy, immigration and border control, a long-running issue that's plagued both parties in Congress over the years.
It is. You know, immigration is a thorny issue in the United States. I don't want to let Mary Kay's call go without saying that her belief that people in this country illegally get free health care that her children pay for is absolutely incorrect. Setting that aside, immigration is an issue that both parties struggle with. We have always been a nation of relatively free borders, right? We are a nation of immigrants. The two parties, certainly in the contemporary period, take different stands on how we should manage immigration. I think the Democrats are certainly not for free and open borders. They want controlled immigration, but they want it in a different way than does the president. And I think the president and the current Republican Party are much farther along the line of a closed border country, or at least being very, very selective about who is allowed to emigrate to this country. So I think Mary Kay gives us a good example, right? People who support the president believe what he says about immigration, and they like what he says. And whether there's truth to the things he says or not, one of his great appeals to voters is that he says what a lot of them feel and believe, and they think they have a champion in him.
Mary Kay, thanks for the call. And Kathy, that's all our time. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
That's Kathy Dolan, Distinguished Professor of Political Science at UW-Milwaukee. She joined us today to talk about last night's State of the Union address from the president and the Democratic response, what we may have learned a little bit about the President Trump's 2020 reelection strategy. Still time for you to weigh in. You can share your thoughts, tweet us at Central Time WPR, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page.